Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LaBounty, Ian Blair with you on this beautiful 500-degree Monday night. It's hot. Hotter than it's been all year. We don't have that rain tamping it down, but it is a Monday night, and Corey, I'm here, you're here, Ian's here, so let's have a good time.
Hey, we're definitely going to do that. Want to thank everybody for listening, tuning in to Sports Night, and I wanted to start off the show by saying congratulations to the station and Sean and Dalton and Dan in the morning time for winning their Nappy Award. Had an opportunity to go to the Nappies on Friday, and they do an outstanding job. JT Crabtree was the winner in our category. Want to congratulate him, but just a great opportunity and a great way to fellowship with everybody. So congratulations to your brother.
Yeah, hate I missed the party Friday night. I knew that you weren't going to miss it.
Right.
But we're going to get it. One of these days, we are going to win the Sports Nappy for our once-a-week, one-hour show.
It's coming.
It's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
We might have to pick it up a little bit. We might have to go two or three nights a week. But,
yes.
But eventually, we're going to win the Nappy for Best Sports Show. I appreciate that for the morning show. We try to keep it loose and fresh in the morning, and it seems like we're doing a decent job at that. And appreciate the votes out there for sure. You know, you would think that in July, that would be one of our slowest sports shows of the year. I mean, football's not started yet. The NBA finals are over. The NHL finals are over. Baseball is like, you know, just post All-Star break, starting to get interesting as far as end of the year scenarios, but really it's kind of in the heat of summer. But right now, I mean, look at this nice $1.97 whiteboard that I bought and brought in here. We've got plenty to talk about with the big Texas Oklahoma expansion news joining the SEC and the ongoing Tokyo Olympics. Also, big trades going down in the NBA with the Pelicans adding someone who, according to Ian, will be a major player for Zion Williamson coming up this year and in the future. And then, of course, you get to the two biggest names in quarterback right now in this offseason. News today on Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. So hopefully we can get to all of that. But Corey, let's start with the news that was on no one's mind last week. And then, I guess over the weekend, this blew up that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12. And apparently they've been in conversation with the SEC about this move for the last 6 months. And today made it official by telling the Big 12 that that they would, quote, honor their existing agreements through 2025. But at that point, plan to leave the Big 12. Now, from everything I've been reading, the people that are actually on the inside, they said, yeah, that's what they have to say legally, that they will honor their agreements through 2025. But Dan Wolken, I think he writes with Yahoo, do not write that Texas and Oklahoma intend to honor their grant of rights until 2025. They do not. They are saying they do because they have to legally for now. Then Matt Hayes, hashtag SEC source. The expectation is for Texas and Oklahoma to play in the SEC in 2022. That'll be 11 years.
No.
Actually, it'll be 10 years from the last expansion when Texas A&M and Missouri both began play in the SEC in 2012. You're shaking your head. No, you don't think they'll get in by 2022?
No, I know that we have new listeners this evening. Want to, again, thank my mom for always tuning in, Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
And she chimed in a little bit about the Texas-Oklahoma merger, as well as my best friend, Face, who's in Houston. And that's been the buzz in the entire state of Texas, but Jalen Armour Davis's aunt, Matty Davis, decided to tune in this evening too.
And welcome.
I know that she's a huge Alabama fan and supports her nephew, but when you start talking about that fast of an entrance, Dalton, I think 2025 is more realistic because the money is not an issue because the SEC, by far, when you start looking at the revenue sharing and the amount of money that is made by conference, by far the SEC makes the most money out of any Power 5 conference.
No doubt.
So I think that there will be a transition period. But when you start talking about Texas and Oklahoma, Dalton, I think by 2025, Texas and Oklahoma will not be the only teams that are added to the SEC. I think they will continue to expand their footprint. I think you can look for Kansas to jump in. I think you can even look for North Carolina to possibly jump into SEC.
You're saying beyond the 16. You don't think they're done expanding?
No, I don't think they're done expanding.
Because I could see the other three conferences, not including the Big 12, which is now the Big 8, if you go ahead and take out Texas and Oklahoma. I could see the other Pac-12, Big 10, and the ACC adding schools while the Big 12 dissolves. But I don't see the SEC adding any more teams. I don't know how they could. And really, you know, there are plenty of people who have written these explainers for what it all means and what they think might eventually happen. So far, the best I've seen is by far Matt Hayes with Saturday Down South. And I can't recall if we've had him on or not because I'm terrible about that. I don't think we've had Matt Hayes on this show. But he wrote, basically, he makes some pretty major claims in his article. First off, he's saying the Ross Bjork thing at Media Days, that Texas A&M has known about this for a long time.
Sure they have.
And this was A&M putting on for the sake of their fan base, who their fan base, they either are totally enraged at this or at this point despondent. Like, they don't care. It's like, whatever. We're going to get screwed over by Texas or someone anyway, so why not go ahead and get it over with? Or they're angry. I don't know why they thought, maybe 10 years ago that was, like, alluded to,
yes,
why they thought it was just going to be them. I mean, was their entire move, I knew it was part of it, but was the entire reason Texas A&M moved to the SEC to get away from Texas?
To be honest with you, Dalton, I say yes. It's kind of like the Alabama-Auburn redhead stepchild syndrome. Because you have to remember the type of success that Texas has had. They get their own daggum network.
Yeah.
Okay? And yes, it's been a flop.
Yeah, it's failed.
Okay? But with that being said, did A&M get their own network?
Nope.
Were they offered? Was Oklahoma offered their own network? No, they were not. So we all know the money that is tied in to Texas and the success that they used to have in football when they became in that merger. Haven't had success since 09.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, Dalton, Texas, Oklahoma possibly joining the SEC, which I think is inevitable at this point in time. I just would love to see, again, for the SEC to continue to make their footprint known. Would you love to see North Carolina and Kentucky in basketball in the same situation? North Carolina in football is not that great, but in basketball, those type of rivalries, the old Oklahoma-Missouri rivalries, these type of rivalries.
See, you know, I'm excited that, you know, down the line, my team, Tennessee, could be playing Texas. Could
sure
be. I won't say I'm expecting wins.
Right, right.
And they have played Oklahoma actually quite a bit recently over the last decade somehow. Somehow it just works out like that, scheduling the home and homes. But I'm excited about that. But also, you know, Tennessee and Alabama play every year.
You've got to.
I'm over that. No. Okay. Tennessee and Alabama play every year. Eventually, might be 20, might be 50 years. It's going to come back around, right?
So it is.
I understand how that works. But right now, I love seeing Tennessee every now and then play Ole Miss or Mississippi State or, you know, name an SEC West team. And they play Alabama every year.
Right.
Other than that, it's going to be at least every 6 years before they have another cross-divisional opponent. So if you keep adding teams to the SEC, even if they go to 9 conference games a year,
yes,
you're Auburn, you're still only going to get to play Florida once every so often. I like that you can play an SEC team as often as they do now, even though that's not that often. But let's just say – Let's take this back to where we began. You said you don't think there's any way Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC come next season.
No.
What Hayes writes for Saturday Down South, Texas and OU could finish out the current media rights deal and leave after the 2024-25 season. But that means 4 lame duck seasons and a loss of revenue. Texas and OU are projected to make as much as $25 million more per year in the SEC than they are in the Big 12. Then he goes on, how does the one-year transition happen? Here's where it gets dicey. He said, you better believe all of the major players involved have thought this through. That includes the SEC presidents, the SEC commissioner, and the presidents of Texas and Oklahoma. What he basically ends up suggesting here for scheduling and for getting this in under the wire is what a lot of people have mentioned. And this, you know, for us Tennessee fans, doesn't get any better place Texas and Oklahoma in the West Division, move Missouri West, then move Alabama and Auburn to the East, continue the divisional format where winners play in the SEC championship game. Go ahead and say this is a nine conference game season. You'll have seven division games, two rotating opposite division games. Really, the way Hayes has worked this out, the only significant rivalry loss, he said, would be Florida and LSU, which is a big one.
It is, but I can live without that one, dog.
Yeah.
Except this past year. I mean, like you said, but once every 7 years, it becomes more valuable to those fan bases.
The other option here, four divisions, and we'll get into that when we get back. Working out four divisions within the SEC, plus 18 playoff on the way. What happens with the group of five?
Yes.
We'll get into that when we get back. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5, text or call 343-0106. That's not nice, Corey. Corey, laughing with me breaking the news in here. Maybe it wasn't broken. Maybe you already knew this news. But the Alabama Crimson Tide, did you see who they've scheduled for homecoming this coming year?
Is it Jackson State?
It's not Jackson State. Ian, got any guesses who Alabama may have scheduled for their homecoming 2021?
Well, it's homecoming, so you got to have it be an eventful game, right? You got to have it be suspenseful. So it's got to be somewhat of a good team, but it's homecoming, so you got to make sure that it's a special time for your seniors and your students in general. I would say Ole Miss.
Alabama has scheduled, for the first time since 1930, the Tennessee Volunteers will be rolling into Bryant-Denny as the homecoming opponent. Now, back before Bama, you know, hired Saban and hit this really nice streak of good luck over the last couple decades, have they lost a homecoming game?
Yes.
They didn't lose, obviously, but
they didn't play well either. They didn't play well either. And you know, thinking back to when Saban loses that late in the season, if it's not LSU.
I don't think it's been a Saban thing either.
No. I mean, if it's not Auburn, if it's not LSU that late in the season, you're looking at, you know, Louisiana Monroe, possibly. Yeah. That might have been Saban's first year. And I don't know if that was the homecoming game or not, but it was close to that situation because, you know, that season was 7-6, I do believe. But
so if they do end up moving Alabama and Auburn to the east, Texas, Oklahoma west, Missouri moves west, Alabama could still schedule Tennessee to be their homecoming opponent every single year, and they haven't lost to Tennessee since 2006 anyway. So, yeah, I'm not happy about that news, but what are you going to do? You got to win before they start showing you any respect. And reading some more today after SEC Media Days, they say that the Vols may have the worst defense in the SEC in a long time. And that's saying something because Ole Miss has had some very, very bad defenses over the last few years. Not looking forward to that at all, but I am looking forward to this upcoming college football season. And as we continue this talk about the possibility of Texas and Oklahoma moving into the league, and Matt Hayes with Saturday Down South, a great explainer, at least in his own words. And keep in mind some of the news here. This week, the SEC presidents have set a date. According to Ross Dellinger, SEC presidents have called a meeting for Thursday. And the next step after Texas and Oklahoma announced to the Big 12 they would be ending their contract or they wouldn't be re-signing after 2025, then they'll need to apply for membership, which they say is expected. And then the third step would be an SEC presidential vote. So by Friday, we could know when and how Texas and Oklahoma are expected to join the conference. But they can't just move them in.
No.
They can't do what they did with A&M and Missouri and move Missouri to the east, A&M west, Oklahoma east, Texas west. They're going to have to kind of, you know, refigure this entire thing. And one of the, I guess it seems to be pretty popular, this, they keep calling it pods.
Yes.
Of four teams. I'd rather call it divisions, right? Even though we have an east and a west, they'd have to come up with a couple of new names. But this is really interesting. And according to Matt Hayes here, teams would play three permanent pod games, okay? So you have four teams in each division. You would play each of your three divisional opponents every year. one or two permanent non-divisional opponents. So, for instance, let's say you have Alabama and Tennessee in separate divisions. That would be one of the permanent non-divisional games. And then four or five rotating opponents. So there would be a lot to work out with this. One that Matt Hayes has worked up here, which is not my favorite that I've seen, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. Now that is a Midwestern division if I've ever seen one. Kind of a Southwest, I should say, almost. Even though, of course, Arkansas and Missouri are more Eastern. But that's like an old Big 12 kind of thing going on there.
That vibe is good for the country. Because, Dalton, a couple of things that I know you and I have not had an opportunity to really expound on is the NCAA collapse.
Yeah.
It's coming. The NCAA is collapsing due to name, image, and likeness, due to amateurism rules, and this just kind of puts a special spin on it.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, college players and universities are now able to get paid the way they should, and we will talk more about that. But I think that what it also does is you no longer have Power 5 conferences. You're going to start having maybe a Power 3 conference.
Yeah.
Because the other conferences are going to want to expand also.
Right.
And Notre Dame has always been in limbo as to whether they're in the ACC in football or basketball. We just don't know.
And Notre Dame is the wild card right now. They want you to think they want to remain independent. And maybe they do, but I think they're looking to make a move also. And
they have to,
y'all. To me, I know the Big Ten would want them. The ACC, especially after this last season where they played basketball in the ACC. Did they play? They played football. They won the division.
No, they
played for the division title. They lost to Clemson. Still, they played in the title game their only year they've been in the conference. ACC makes perfect sense for Notre Dame.
It does. And Dalton, let me say this. The NBC network, they love Notre Dame.
Right.
Okay? That's their Longhorn network, so to speak.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Notre Dame football is on NBC. And it'll probably remain that way. I'm going to look to see what their contract runs through. But we know the current contract for ESPN and CBS, I think it's up in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and there's rumor that the ESPN will go ahead and buy out the rest of that contract.
I can see it happening, Dalton, and I want it to happen. But it's not just football we're talking about, because on sports night, you have to look what this does for women's softball, the domination that's in women's softball, men's baseball, and then you're talking about volleyball as well. So it's and men's basketball and women's basketball. It just the trickle-down effect and the dominance is not just in football. When that shoe drops, it's going to really resonate with everyone.
So even if whether they go, you know, two divisions, keep it the same, East-West, or four divisions, that'll be what it is, 16 teams in the SEC. What happens to the Big 12 now, which would now be the 2, 4, 6, 8? It would be the Big 8, right? Even though we're still calling them the Big 12 since they lost their two teams. And then the Big 10 has, you know, 12 teams, so it makes zero sense where we are right now with the names of these conferences.
No.
Is the Big 12 going to dissolve, or does it make more sense for them to start adding?
They got to add, don't they?
You have Houston, you have Memphis, you
add.
SMU. They could certainly add some teams to the Big 12, or will the Big 12 eventually dissolve? And those players, those teams, whether it's Iowa State, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor, Kansas, that's already a really weird layout of teams you have there. When you go from West Virginia to Iowa State to Baylor, it's odd. So maybe those teams just divide themselves among the three remaining conferences, four remaining conferences, SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big Ten. And with this 8-team playoff on the way, you take the four division winners, no more Big 12, you have a Power Four, the four winners of each division, and then four at large, whether that's Alabama wins the SEC, and Georgia and Oklahoma are the two best remaining teams, and they're in the 8-team playoff. Maybe you only have one great SEC team 10 years from now, and Alabama gets in, and you get two from the Big Ten or two from the ACC, and then UCF, it's their year. There's a million different ways they could go about this, but really, the NCAA is not necessary in any of them.
No, I agree with you not being in any of them, but I cannot wait to see addition by subtraction or addition by addition. But no matter how you do it, when you start renaming these conferences, the SEC will stay the SEC, but the Big 8, Big 12, whatever you want to call it, it should be by number, which makes it much easier to remember what it is.
So stupid right now the way they have it. Let's talk Olympics when we get back. Is Popovich the right guy for the job? Does the team even want to win in Tokyo? We'll talk basketball when we get back. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. I'm Dalton Orwig. He's Corey LeBounty. He's Ian Blair. And we like to talk about sports. And plenty to talk about tonight, of course, with the Texas-Oklahoma news over the last couple of weeks. You know, really, it's bad news for Vanderbilt, is what it is, because now they are the 14th. Best football team in the SEC, and in a year, 4 years, they will be the 16th best football team in the SEC. Like, can't they bring Kansas? Why don't we ever hear about Kansas joining the
SEC? They're coming, Dalton. Listen to you heard it here first. Kansas is going to join the SEC.
Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt would pay Kansas to come over to the SEC. Like, just take our money so that we can be one of the so that we won't be the worst in the entire league. Coach Rick Cleveland texting in and discussing this Power 5 conference thing, NCAA thing. He said the huge problem is with the Pac-10. There's the major problem keeping Southern Cal happy, because they're kind of like the Texas, right, of the Pac-12. Yeah, Texas is all anyone can talk about with the Big 12, even though, I mean, Oklahoma is the team
sure.
there. Someone earlier said the craziest thing about all this is Oklahoma basically using Texas as a human shield, because
yes. –
all anyone's talking about is the Longhorns and not the Sooners much at all. But Coach Cleveland says you got to keep Southern Cal happy. Are they happy right now in a league that has Stanford and UCLA? And, I mean, there's not – if they were good, Oregon and Stanford is about all the competition, right?
Yes.
Utah State – was Utah State packed? No.
No.
They're Mountain West, right?
Correct.
Or somewhere in the Midwest there. If Southern Cal were able to figure it out, there's not a whole lot of competition. I mean, Oregon's been really good over the last 15 years. Stanford's been decent.
UCLA, not
UCLA
football.
Hadn't done much, no. He continued, the Big Ten will take some of the ACC teams, and since they have a Rose Bowl relationship with the Pac, they would be wise to take some of the Pac-10 group. And then what we're looking at is the demise of the NCAA and then four super conferences who will eventually govern themselves. That's kind of what I'm thinking, that we're going to see four conferences, and hopefully along the way they'll rework the names, make
yes.
it a little easier.
Yes.
And then what happens? I mean, you've got some group of five teams in colleges that probably don't really deserve to be in the group of five any longer.
No,
whether
it's year in and year out.
UCF, Houston, mm-hmm. Memphis. You know, Memphis not the greatest football team. They've put some good years together, but look at their basketball team
yep.
year over year. I don't know. It'll be interesting. One of my proposals is like the English soccer leagues. Really, I think it's all soccer except for MLS. Relegation and delegation. What if you've got the four super conferences, and then every year the two bottom teams in each of those conferences delegated to the group of five, four group of five, or at this point, group of four conferences, top two in each of those, up to the big leagues? I don't know.
Call them up.
It's impossible. It would never yeah. happen with these contracts they work out, but it'd be interesting anyway, because you can't tell me that Kansas deserves to be a Power 5 team more than UCF. I don't know.
Right.
Once you work in basketball, that's another story. But enough about that. Let's talk a little bit about the Olympics and, you know, viewership numbers way, way down. I know we're only 3 days and change into the 2020 Summer Olympics mm-hmm. that were delayed a year. But from the opening ceremony, which was the worst U.S. viewership in 33 years, to last night's primetime numbers, which a lot of that was tape delayed, but you still had Katie Ledecky live.
Swimming, right.
Swimming live. And I believe the numbers I saw from NBC, 20 million last night watched in primetime, which is 3 million more than the opening ceremony. But compared to Rio in 2016 or London in 2012, Rio's Sunday night, the first Sunday night of their Olympics, had 30 million, Okay, and we're talking about 20 million last night for Tokyo, and then London 2012 that first Sunday night 36 million, so down by nearly 100% from two Olympics ago. What's the deal? Why aren't people watching?
And I want to do a study on this myself because I think it has to do with time zones and the time differential.
That's what I've been saying, 13 hours.
When it's across the globe or down under, when the time zones kind of match up, because tonight I'm going to give you a prime example, and I want to go back, kind of backtrack first. You mentioned Ledecky and swimming. Mm-hmm. I got to give a shout-out to Paige Madden because I know a lot of people not only supported her through her CMSA and through her Virginia years and her UMS Wright years, but to finish seventh in the world, I don't care that she didn't medal. It's the fact that she represented not only her city, her state, her family, her high school, her college, and herself tremendously.
And, you know, seventh in the world, but that comes with two of those numbers last night were top four all
unbelievable
time.
Unbelievable,
so
her
competition. So she's in a race with the best ever.
And it showed, but at the same time, it gives her something to be hungry for because, you know, she's a young lady who we haven't heard the last of. And even if she never makes it beyond this point in time, she can always hang her hat saying that she did something people across the world would love to be in the water and doing things that she did. So congratulations to her. That's one of the reasons I know all of Mobile, Alabama should have been tuned in. And I know she has another event coming up.
Yeah.
So if you missed her last
night.
She'll
be tomorrow night. Well, it's Wednesday with quotes. I don't know if that means it'll be tomorrow night for us.
There it is, Dalton.
Or actually Wednesday, 4x200-meter relay.
That's why, Dalton, that the ratings are down. And with that being said, anytime you get the same time zone, it helps with American viewership. And then the fact that, to me, the opening ceremonies, I get juiced up off of the crowd's energy. The athletes feed off of the crowd's energy in any sport. Just ask those who participated in the bubble when there were no fans. You know, it sucked at the end of the day for not only the players, but for the parents of these tremendous athletes.
Yeah, you see so many that they show on the broadcast that are watching from Orlando.
It's sad, Dalton. That's why the ratings are down. But speaking of supporting Mobile, Alabama, and those who are participating in the Olympics, I need for everybody, if you're up tonight or set your DVR tonight, for women's basketball, USA plays Nigeria tonight at 11:30 on USA Network. And why is that important? Why am I mentioning that? Well, first of all, I love basketball. But secondly, one of my mentors, Otis Hughley, the former head coach at LaFleur High School, is the Nigerian women's national team head coach. And they will be participating and playing against the USA women's basketball team tonight at 11:30 on the USA Network. So you'll have an opportunity to see that. It's USA women's basketball's first game. It's Nigeria's first game. And 1 week ago in qualifying or in a play-in game, they did beat them in Vegas by 20. So, again, Otis Hughley being the head coach of the Nigerian women's national team, I think personally for myself, coaching with Coach Hughley for over 6 years at LaFleur, is an awesome experience for not only him, but for Mobile, Alabama
also. Yeah, that's huge. Obviously a huge task at hand. I looked up the odds. Do you want to hear them?
Yes, I do want to know.
Because if I tell you now and Nigeria pulls off the upset.
Let's hear it, dog.
29.5 points. 30-1 for the upset.
That's tough.
It's tough. But we've seen the U.S. men's teams be favored in a major way these playoffs, these Olympics, but more so the exhibition games. And now having lost 3 of 4, including game one against France. So the loss to France, the French team goes on a 16-2 run at the end of the game. This was played at 7 a.m. either yesterday or Saturday. I don't know. It's all running together for me. 7 a.m. our time.
Yep.
It was only on the Peacock Network, right?
Yep.
So they're trying to boost, NBC trying to boost this network and put it on something that, you know, pretty much no one could find that's interested. And then you have Team USA lose to France. I don't know, you know, I used to think I liked Popovich. He hasn't done anything since Duncan.
No.
Let's be honest. He has not done anything since Duncan retired. And on top of that, he's just been an unlikable old cuss for years, and I don't understand why we picked him to represent this team full of young guns. I mean, we got some players on this team, although, you know, you look at the top 10 players in the NBA right now and the Americans that are included in that, no LeBron, no Curry, no AD, no Kawhi. I mean, go down the line. And Kevin Durant showed up. He's there. You got Booker. He's,
He
just showed up. Drew Holiday was the guy, was the man of the game, and he showed up that morning. So, you know, it seems like this team is taking on Popovich's attitude, which, to be nice, is less than ideal. I'm over Popovich. He's just kind of a jerk to everyone, and he acts like, you know, he owes you, you owe him something for the interviews with him. I'm tired of it.
No, I think the United States basketball team needs to be embarrassed. Again, this is international basketball, not NBA basketball. But even if you have three new guys added to your roster, the guys who were there still have to take enough pride and responsibility when they put on that uniform. And I'm not saying they have to be the dream team and beat people by 30 and 40 and 50 points. I'm not saying that, Dalton, because, you know, basketball is a game of runs. But at the end of the day, the United States of America had a lead on France entering the fourth quarter, and with 4 minutes left to go in that game, had a 2 or 3 point game, a lead in that game. So they lost it the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter of that game. But with the type of talent that is there, I don't care how long you play together, at the end of the day, losing three out of their last four games, it's not like this is just a coincidence. This is a trend, and it's trending in the wrong direction.
It's terrible. And surprisingly, you know, they do have two games left in their group. Iran tomorrow night, which I had the odds, and let's see if I can find it here. Team USA favored by 41.5 points over Iran. Coming up, that'll be tomorrow night at 11:40 our time. Then they get, I believe after that, the Czech Republic. Team USA still the overall favorites to win gold, but not by nearly as much as they were to start with. We got a lot of texts on this I want to get to when we get back. Also, a big Pelicans trade, and then we have to talk Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson when we get back. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Coming home again. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, Ian Blair running the board for us. And check me out tomorrow morning and every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. On Sports Morning. No, on Mobile Mornings. That's what it's called, Dan Brennan and myself. We both love sports, but we do a lot of news in the morning, too. And looking at the text line, 343-0106, I love any time we can mix in a dig at my Tennessee Vols with whatever the topic may be. And you have here, USA men's basketball is the Tennessee Vols of the Olympics. Okay, except Tennessee is not and has not been favored to win the conference in a very long time.
True.
So, checkmate. And then on a related note, Pop has hired Butch Jones to bring the Champions of Life attitude into the locker room, just like he did in Knoxville. That would be a great tandem. Greg Popovich and Butch Jones on the same sideline.
I love it.
Popovich might punch a hole through Butch Jones' face, or vice versa. I'm not sure.
No. Butch Jones, all he has to do is just pace up and down the sideline like he did for Nick Saban for 4 years.
He would just be Pop's assistant, I guess.
There you go.
There was only one dream team. These guys are a nightmare.
True.
It's just, you know, they don't seem like they want to be there, which I know is not the case because they flew to Tokyo. They don't have to be playing, just like so many of the other NBA players decided not to. Mm-hmm. USA basketball is trash. They're a bunch of brats. I would say there are brats that play NBA basketball, and maybe a couple made it onto the team. But you look at guys like Drew Holiday and Booker. I mean,
Booker's not trash.
A lot of these guys who wouldn't have normally been picked. I mean, Booker would have been picked for the team anyway. But you look at some of these guys who were not first choice, first selection, and I disagree with calling some of them brats. I just don't think that, you know, they're being led the right way right now. Paul says, do you think the wokeness of players has anything to do with apathy on the floor and the coach? And he's right. When you look at the woke coaches, I would say Popovich and Steve Kerr are the top two, mm-hmm, I think of. Then the Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, would probably be right there in the mix. I don't think so. If anything, nope, you'd think that they would want to play better to prove their point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To prove that their point. And you ask Popovich, you know, even though a lot of people think he's unpatriotic for some of the things he's said, he would argue that that makes him more patriotic, that he's just holding the United States to a higher standard. This is probably my favorite text we've gotten tonight. I want to go out drinking with the Australian women's swimming coach. I'll bet that dude can party. Did you see the video last night?
Man, was he not at Jack? He reminded me of the Ultimate Warrior. For you know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. And just the, I thought he was going to shake the plexiglass.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was cronk.
Did you see the poor little assistant security guard they had standing? She had no idea what to do.
Hey, she stuck her arm out, and that's all she could do.
Yeah.
But I thought he was going to go and hug her. I mean, he was jacked up.
You know, this is Japan. Why don't they have sumo wrestlers stationed at every security checkpoint?
That's a good point.
See if we can't get a little sumo in there anytime. The next time the Australian swim coach starts acting like acting crazy. Also, some big news today. We'll get to kind of a lightning round here. And Ian, I want to get your take on this move by the New Orleans Pelicans. They're sending off crazy Steven Adams, which, you know, it's kind of disappointing. He was fun to watch in the Pels jersey. Eric Bledsoe and also two first-round picks to Memphis, and in return, Jonas Valanciunas and the 17th overall pick. I brought this up to you before the show. So this is big for the development of Zion.
Well, first off, Jonas Valanciunas, for those who don't know, has had multiple series in the playoffs where he's shot 50% from three or better. So first off, you've just opened up the paint for one of the strongest players in NBA history. I'm going to say that again. NBA history. So now you have Zion being able to just feast down low like whenever. The problem that I'm seeing for New Orleans out of this entire thing is Valanciunas is on an expiring deal.
Right.
He expires next year. So that's a free agent you have to get in. For Memphis, they wanted to get younger. Valanciunas is 30 years old, so he's not quite, you know, and he wasn't athletic in the first place. But in terms of where this kind of goes for both teams, I think it's kind of a win-win scenario. You kind of get some decent players if you're Memphis. Eric Bledsoe will probably not see a lot of time, which I think is for the best.
And I'm not sure he stays in Memphis. That's kind of the word, that he'll be moved quickly.
He'll probably either be traded or bought out here in the next, like, whenever he's available to. But, yeah, I mean, Memphis is trying to get younger, and that number 10 overall pick, this is a stacked draft class.
And obviously the hope for the Pelicans is that Zion soon will do what we saw Antetokounmpo do for the Bucks here over this last playoff series.
Just takes a little while. I mean, for those who don't know, the NBA draft is this coming Thursday.
We have any local guys in the mix there?
No local guys, but what will be interesting to see is where the Detroit Pistons, I think they're going to go Cade Cunningham from
Cade,
Oklahoma
for
State.
Sure.
But, you know, right there at number two, the Houston Rockets have an opportunity to go high school-wise or a G League guy who went straight out of high school and skipped college, Jalen Green. So I don't know, Dalton. That'll be fun. The NBA draft always is interesting.
And then some NFL news here. First off, some bad news for the New Orleans Saints. Well, they do have Quan Baker, the touchdown maker. That's good news. And the bad news is that Michael Thomas is going to miss about half the season. He'll start on the physically unable to perform list and having ankle surgery. This is bad news. I mean, he was dealing with some injuries last year. Remember, you couldn't get Drew Brees and Michael Thomas on the same field for most of the year. And this is after signing a 5-year, $96 million deal. Tough news there for the Saints, who were still unsure who will be starting at quarterback for them, Jameis Winston or kid from BYU. I'm spacing on right now.
You know, I don't know, Jordan, if Jordan Love will be ready or not. But at the same time, you know, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you always love to hear that Rodgers may be returning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a Houston Texans fan, do I think that you have somebody who's ready to trade for Deshaun Watson right now?
Nope.
No, I don't. I think you're pretty much stuck with eating that contract and hope that he has some great attorneys and lawyers that are able to get him off of this alleged cases that are going against him at this point in time.
I mean, obviously you would want the truth to be found out, whether these are all lies, or, you know, if he's done it, he needs to pay some sort of price. But you're exactly right the way you said it. Whoever ends up with Deshaun Watson, without a doubt, wants him to be cleared of these charges. And that's exactly why no one's going to pay for him. And what they asked for him, it seems outrageous. But, of course, that's only what they're asking. It's not necessarily what they take. They said it would take at least 3 first-round picks and a couple top-tier players. No one is paying for that for Deshaun Watson right now. If he had a cleared name, possibly.
It'd be a different story. Yes.
Possibly. But right now, the risk is just too great on that. And you referenced it, Aaron Rodgers. It looks like, at least for the moment, they're able to let bygones be bygones and play this year. I was joking, now that it's the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, no longer the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. By the way, it was Taysom Hill, the name I was trying to remember earlier, obviously. It looks like, I was joking, Jordan Love would be the starting quarterback for Green Bay in that first game in the new Caesars Superdome. But it now appears that it will indeed be Aaron Rodgers who is starting for the Green Bay Packers.
That's huge.
They lopped one of the years off his deal. They're giving him some more money. Also, they're cutting the cap at the same time so they can maybe afford to go out and get somebody. But you have an unhappy Davante Adams at the same time.
It's your next Jeopardy host, but at least he'll give his team, not quit on his team, and give them an opportunity. And you mentioned his receiver. I think that Green Bay, he'll stick around for at least one more year, and that will probably be his farewell tour. He'll get one more Lambeau leap in him, have an opportunity to play against possibly Tom Brady again. But like the fact that the NFL is opening back up, college football a couple of weeks ago, away from opening up its training camp also. So we're in mid-season form right here late July.
By the way, did you see that Brady video they put out there?
I had to be edited, Dalt.
Right. Who actually thought that was real?
Unbelievable, though.
Yeah, it is. Very unbelievable. That's another Sports Night FM Talk 106.5. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Corey. We'll be back 6 p.m. next Monday. Check me out tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. on Mobile Mornings.